So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ryan Ank with Cashflow Dad Life, and we have a special guest on with us today. Gentleman by the name of Anton, and Anton is a real estate investor and an entrepreneur. He's got over 35 units. I think you're generating over $10,000 a month in cash flow right now. He's also the founder of a very helpful and successful software called DealCheck, and that is it's used by over 50,000 real estate investors to help them quickly analyze a deal and to analyze the deals on the go. And compare different investment properties. I just want to make sure everything's working. Anton, you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Awesome. So real quick, can you just kind of give us your backstory? I mean, you've had a lot of success in real estate, doing a lot of different things, but you kind of stumbled across real estate by accident a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Sure. So, kind of right out after high school, I joined the military. So I joined active duty in the U.S. Navy, and I was actually stationed in Japan out there with the on one of the Navy ships. And unfortunately, in 2008, 2010, right around that time, both of my parents passed away, and they owned a single property in Southern California. It was a condo where they lived. And you know, them passing, I basically inherited this property, so to speak, became an accidental landlord. So right. Definitely not something I was planning on. It was kind of a sudden, event in my life. And, you know, me out there living in Japan, and you know, this property being in Southern California, I never owned property before in my life prior to that. So I wasn't sure what to do with it. I thought about selling it at first because that kind of seemed the easy route. But I talked to a few people. They kind of convinced me, hey, why don't you rent it out? It's a good rental market there. See how it goes, you know, and then you can always sell it later. So that's actually what I did. I kept it, and I'm very happy now that I did. And that basically became my first rental property, even though I didn't buy it. But it did give me a lot of experience being a landlord, you know, kind of taught me the basics about tenant management and dealing with maintenance issues and working with the property manager, who I obviously had to use because I didn't live there, and kind of gave me that first taste of also out of state or even out of the country for me at the time, property management and kind of managing a rental portfolio. So I'd say that's kind of was the foundation and the first step, or at least the first experience for me with real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, life kind of pushes us in a certain direction. Like that probably would have never been in your plans unless that, I'm assuming it was kind of a tragic situation. And unless that happened, you know, with your parents, you probably wouldn't be the successful real estate investor that you are now. You're kind of forced into it, so to speak.
Yeah, it's you know, it's hard to say. I did start investing, but it was more in, you know, stocks and index funds. So I kind of had the whole personal finance thing, investing thing going, but I did not consider real estate. And you're right, it's hard to say what could have been, or, you know, how things would have played out if that didn't happen.
Yeah. So you've got a kind of a slight accent. You were in the U.S. Army, but your accent is kind of... And your name is Anton Ivanov. Sounds what is that, Russian?
It's Russian, yes. Yeah. So I was born in Russia, and I grew up there and lived there until I was high school age, about 15. And okay. then kind of me and my family, we immigrated to the United States and settled in Southern California.
Yeah, I'm sorry about what those Croatians did to you guys.
I saw that, but it was a fair game.
Okay, yeah, I was afraid that the Croatian team wouldn't wake up the next morning, but
right.
But they seem to be doing all right. So you after you kind of got your feet wet with it, you know, that first uh-huh. property, you learned a lot about landlording. What strategy did you go after next in your real estate investments?
Sure. So kind of fast forward a few years after I got that first property, I got out of the military, kind of transitioned to a more civilian career and came back to San Diego. And, you know, I had this property, it was generating some cash flow. You know, being in Southern California wasn't particularly great because kind of the rental market here is pretty tough with the prices being really high and the rents not keeping up too much. But, you know, it piqued my interest in real estate. I wanted to continue. So upon moving back here, I decided, well, you know, A, I needed to go through, you know, A, I wanted to buy more properties. And kind of B, I really wanted to go through the process of actually buying a deal myself, because that first one I didn't actually buy. So mm-hmm. after kind of looking at the local market and what's available, I decided that, you know, pretty much the only viable strategy that I could think of here was to house hack a multifamily property. So that meant, you know, buying a 2-4 unit, living in one of the units and basically renting out the others.
Yeah, it's a smart way to go if you're getting started in real estate to like basically get a double, and then the person on the other side pays for your note, or you are able to cash flow past that. Were you able to cash flow past what you owed on it, or was it just covering the note?
No, that I was able to find a pretty good property. It took me quite a while. It would probably, me and my wife, we looked for over 6 months, if I recall, you know, and kind of focused on maybe like B minus class areas here in San Diego. So not the nicest areas, but not really the slums. And eventually we did find a duplex that, you know, needed quite a bit of work, but, you know, kind of projected it was going to cash flow positive. And eventually I did have a plan to move out completely, and then it would have become a rental property, you know, both units, which it is now. So that was kind of my first deal that I actually went end to end with, you know, looked it up and found it and went through the whole purchase and then went through the whole rehab. And I like to think that was actually, you know, my first deal, and honestly, it worked out pretty good. You know, it's not nowadays, it's not probably the best performing property in my portfolio. Again, San Diego is kind of a tough rental market, but it gave me tremendous experience as far as buying properties, rehabbing them, just learning about houses. And, you know, after a few years, we moved out, and now it's both sides are rented, and it's generating really good cash flow.
Yeah, it's awesome. So did you stick with the multifamilies like duplexes and beyond, or do you have single families in your portfolio? What does your portfolio look like now?
Sure. So portfolio is primarily multifamily, specifically fourplexes, but kind of after that initial duplex, I did buy a few single family homes, actually using the turnkey model in Atlanta and Birmingham. That was kind of my first foray into out-of-state investing. Because again, I kind of looked at the local markets and it was very tough, and I just made a decision that I think I can get better returns elsewhere. And looking at out-of-state markets, I stumbled upon the turnkey model, and it worked really well for me at the time. You know, prices were a lot lower. This was kind of around 2014, 2015. So I was able to find three single-family turnkey properties that I still own today, and that kind of gave me experience buying remotely, you know, managing remotely. And then after that, I transitioned into kind of multifamily again, if you will, specifically fourplexes, but I actually am looking at 10, 15 unit plus properties now. So kind of a firm believer of scaling, you know, your portfolio, starting maybe with some duplexes, 2-4 units, single family homes. And then moving on to multifamily just enables you to buy properties quicker, streamline management a little bit, kind of use economies of scale to your advantage.
Now, when you say turnkey property, explain for my listeners what you're talking about with the turnkey model.
Sure. So if you guys are not familiar, the turnkey model, it got pretty popular, I'd say, in the last few years. And basically it's, I like to think of these local companies that just large scale flippers. You know, they go out, they buy distressed properties, they do, a rehab on it, depending on the property and the company. Typically, they place a tenant into the property and then sell it to an investor. As an investor, what you get is ideally a fully rehab property, or at least a property in, you know, as good of a condition as it could be, with a tenant already in place, which in theory will kind of minimize the upfront work or hassle that you have to deal with. So you don't have to deal with the rehab, you don't have to deal with finding properties, and you don't have to deal with tenant placement. At the flip side of that, you do typically sacrifice in price. So turnkey properties are usually sold at market, even possibly slightly above. So you're not going to get that discount, that you can get if you source your own deals and kind of do your own work. So I think it's a viable strategy for new investors. For me, again, I was relatively new. I didn't have that many properties, and I was looking at out-of-state investing, and kind of turnkey was a good way for me to get started with out-of-state, get more comfortable kind of managing all of this remotely, from property purchase to, dealing with tenants. Yes, I paid premiums for, the properties. I didn't get any discounts, but I did buy in markets that appreciated both in rents and home value. So, and I had a long-term outlook. So I think at the end, it'll work out just fine. There are obviously, a lot of different turnkey providers, and I'd say definitely do your research, definitely get some referrals, definitely understand who you're dealing with, because because a property is advertised as turnkey, it's definitely not necessarily a good investment. It could be, but it could not be. So definitely don't skip that whole research and due diligence on turnkey properties.
Right. No, but it is a cool situation because it takes out the work, and that's really what you're paying for is to save on time and probably ultimately save on money, especially if you're investing long distance. It's hard to put all that work in yourself and finding tenants and rehabbing and everything like that. So it enables you to move it to other markets where there might be better numbers. And then you're able to, generate passive income that way. So tell me a little bit about how, real estate, I always say a good portion of it is knowing the numbers. People tend to go and they look at a house and they're like, oh, I like the way the shutters look or the color of the house or the bricks or, all this aesthetic stuff, that goes on the house. And it all comes down to when you're looking for investment property, it really doesn't matter what it looks like. It does a little bit, you want to make sure you're in a good neighborhood, but you really want to look at those numbers, and that will, before anything else, that will determine whether or not it's a good investment. So tell me a little bit about, your experience, your initial experience and the challenges and the problems you had with calculating the numbers that made you want to develop that software that you developed.
Sure. I think you hit it right on the spot, Ryan. I've heard kind of the phrase used where in real estate, you make money when you buy and not when you sell. And I think that's very true in the sense that, once you buy the property, you kind of lock in a lot of factors in terms of both where the property is located, for example, what type of property it is, as well as what type of cash flow income and returns it can generate for you. Yes, you can influence some of those factors. You can rehab a property, try to find better tenants, but a lot of those factors are very hard to change or impossible. So for me personally, one of the biggest focuses in kind of my real estate investing career has been to spend a lot of time researching and analyzing cash flow projections on each property I buy. I've spent hours on each property. I I try to be very conservative with my estimates and really use, you know, accurate numbers, run the calculations, run them twice, look at different scenarios, and really understand the financial potential of the property to generate income and profit before I even, you know, send a contract out or even talk to my agent about being interested in the property. So mm-hmm. I think it's a key process. I'm sure, you know, most investors are familiar with it, but like you said, it ultimately matters a lot less what the property looks like and where it's located. It matters more what it's going to do to you as a investment vehicle, what kind of cash flow it's going to generate and what your returns are going to be. So, you know, it's more kind of a financial analysis.
Yeah.
Question.
So when I first got started investing in property, one of the problems is you know how to calculate the numbers in your head. It all comes down to ROI, you know, your return on that investment. And that's the number that you're trying to get at. But when you're first going around and you're new at it, even if you're old at it, you know, you sit there and you look at a property, or maybe you're driving around, you get a piece of paper out and you start calculating everything. You pull up your amortization calculator on your phone if you have one, or you look it up online, and you're trying to put the rents together, and it's just kind of a mess. So what I did is I created this spreadsheet. But the other problem with the spreadsheet is I've got to go out, if I'm looking at a property, then I got to come back and I got to plug all the numbers in the spreadsheet. Now, you've kind of streamlined that process, that whole process of calculating the numbers, calculating the rent, the down payment, the, you know, all those additional factors. You've streamlined that into the app that you created. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the functions of that app and how much they benefit people who are both new and experienced real estate investors?
Yeah, I think you actually really accurate as far as where the idea for DealCheck originally came from. You know, I was looking for a tool that was both simple to use. You know, it was quick. That I could use online, offline, on the go. So, you know, on my phone or on my computer. But at the same time, that had enough, you know, kind of complexity and customization built into it, where I could run pretty much any financial scenario I wanted to. And kind of back in, I think it was 2015, when I was looking for something like this out there in existence, and I didn't really find anything I liked. So I built DealCheck myself as kind of a property analysis software that you can use both on your phone, on your tablet, or then come back and use it on your computer to analyze, you know, rental properties for me specifically, but also, you know, multifamily buildings, commercial buildings, rehab and flip projects. And it kind of started as a small project. Again, it was kind of for me. I shared it with a few other people. They really liked it. And I launched it, you know, kind of out there into the wild, so to speak. And ever since then, DealCheck became very popular. And I'm, you know, happy to say that it helped thousands of investors kind of do several things. One is obviously run these cash flow projections, you know, quickly and efficiently. It's, you know, with real estate crunching the numbers, so to speak, there's so many input variables to consider. You know, you have to worry about actually correctly estimating rent and vacancy and maintenance. The last thing you want to do is screw up some of the math. And some of the calculations, like IRR, for example, your internal rate of return, so a kind of an annualized return you get on your money, are fairly complex. And DealCheck basically handles all that for you. You don't have to worry about, you know, doing the math wrong. You get the same calculations, very consistent every time. So at the core, it's, you know, a tool that can help you crunch the numbers, so to speak, do the due diligence and analyze your cash flow profit projections. And kind of over the years, we've built a few other features into it to help investors both save time, save money, find better deals. You can now actually import property data directly from the MLS, including rent and after repair value estimates. We have PDF reports that you can export. So this takes all of the information for the property, photos, maps, projections, cash flow, puts it in a really nicely formatted PDF that you can just send to your lenders if they need to see the analysis, mm-hmm. Any partners you work with, or if you're an agent. A lot of agents use this to send the PDF to their investor clients that are considering buying this property. And we also got this really powerful offer calculator that we call it. And it basically uses reverse valuation to work backwards from a criteria you define and give you an offer price you can give to the seller. Let's say, your kind of minimum cash flow is $250 per month and you want a cash on cash return of 15%. Like, great. You plug those in and DealCheck will give you the maximum price you can offer to the seller. So actually put in your offer letter to still make the deal work for you. So, obviously I'm a little biased, but I think it's an awesome tool. It's free to try. We have a free version that you can use forever. You can go to dealcheck.io to use our web version, or just search for DealCheck on the Apple or Android app stores and download it to your smartphone or tablet.
Yeah, and I think we've got a special thing that we worked out with our audience too, with your DealCheck as well, to where if they put in the promo code CASH20OFF, that's all caps. It's capital C, capital A, capital S, capital H, and then the number 20, and then capital O, capital F, capital F, then they can get 20% off on the whole thing. But the software in and of itself, it's super cheap. It's like less than an extra value meal at McDonald's.
It's the basic version is free to use. And if you do want those premium features, kind of a little more advanced tools and no restrictions, it costs, just a couple cups of coffee a month. And I think you'll get way over that value, once you start using it.
Depending on where you buy your coffee, it could be one cup of coffee per month. So
that's very true.
Now, let me ask you this. Before you got started setting up this software, did you know anything about software?
I did have a background, yes. So I'm actually a software developer by trade. Okay. That's kind of my full-time job. So I definitely had that background combined with my real estate background, and kind of running this math and Excel, actually, like you said, many investors do. And those combined helped me create the first version of DealCheck.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that you would say, no, I didn't have a background in it, because it would prove my theory about Russians and Russian immigrants. Because you guys, have you ever read that book, The Millionaire Next Door?
I have, actually.
Yeah. One of the things that he talks about is how the number one demographic of millionaires in the United States is Russian immigrants.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what you got. I don't know why you guys are so driven, but you are. And, situations like you had no idea how to do real estate. You just jumped into it and you're like, I'm just going to bust this out and buy 30 different properties and cash flow 10,000. And by the way, here's a problem over here. I'm going to solve it with some of my talents real quick and then offer it to other people. And now you got, over 50,000 investors using this software. So it's just, I don't know if it's your Russian blood or you're just, a natural entrepreneur, probably a little bit of both.
Probably something in the blood.
That's awesome. So with this DealCheck .io, you can go to our site, cashflowdadlife.com/resources, and then you can get it from there and type in that promo code CASH20OFF, or you could go to DealCheck.io and you can type in the promo code there. And again, guys, this is incredibly useful, because you're driving around. And, I can't bring my spreadsheet unless I bring my computer with me driving around. And not only that, but you can download MLS data. Like you said, you can produce reports, which are helpful if you're going to send those to your banker, or your private money lender. It's just an incredibly useful software developed by a real estate investor himself, who understands the pain and the need to be able to analyze a deal. So what's next for you on your list of accomplishments, Anton? You've already done the real estate thing. You're doing the software thing. What's next on the bucket list?
Actually, probably continuing with both of these. As far as real estate goes, me and my wife are at 35 units now. I think our original goal was 50 units, and we might actually keep going until 65 or 75 to kind of round out our portfolio. So hopefully continue expanding, continue growing. And like I mentioned earlier, we'd like to actually move into commercial properties or bigger complexes, maybe something in the range of 15, 20 unit apartment buildings or apartment complexes. And as far as deal check, we're definitely not done there. We're always adding new features and, you know, kind of growing our suite of tools and analysis. And we have a lot of new stuff like portfolio analysis and sales comps coming in the next few months that I think your users really going to like.
Well, sales comps would be huge. That yep. would be really awesome. Do you have the ability to produce a CMA report, or are you looking at the ability to produce like a CMA report on that software?
I think that's definitely something we can consider. Yeah.
Okay. That would be my vote. How I throw my hat in the ring. That would be incredibly useful. Just be able to look at, if you're able to pull up a property and then look at what everything else has been sold for in the area and right. be able to analyze yeah. all that data. I'll send you my spreadsheet that I use, and you can convert that into a piece of software, and that would be perfect.
Sounds good to me.
All right. All right. Awesome. Well, hey, Anton, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for sharing your story. It's actually an incredible story on how you kind of got started by accident, and then you just took it and ran with it. It's amazing. It's unfortunate, you know, that both your parents, you know, passed away, but, it's a lot of people, when they get kicked down in life, they stay down, and some people just get up, and it sounds like you got up. So, hats off right. to you on that.
Well, thank you. And thanks for inviting me to the podcast, Ryan.
Appreciate it. All right, Anton, take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out, because each episode has an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.